Chapter 11, Section 1.2, The Kodak Moment of Cloud. When Kodak had finally overcome its own inertia to the shift to digital images, it solved the conflict with its traditional fulfillment business by promoting the idea of the digital photo printer. They would bring fulfillment of photo printing into this digital world. It tanked because users just started sharing images and bypassed the whole point of the traditional photo. In the cloud world, this same tragic mistake has been created with the private cloud. We will bring you all the benefits of volume operations with commodity components through a public provider, but using enterprise-like hardware customized to your needs and running in your own data center. In other words, they plan to bring selling servers into this utility world. Certainly, private cloud has some merit for dealing with inertia, i.e. often unjustified security concerns, but this is a transitional play at best. It's short-lived and it's not the end game. Alas, even today, in 2017, there are people arguing that the future is a hybrid mix of public and private cloud. It's not, it never has been. The future has always been a hybrid of multiple public clouds. But why multiple public clouds? The first concern is resilience, which is solved through those co-evolved practices such as distributed systems and design for failure. Now, multiple public clouds doesn't necessarily mean multiple public cloud providers. You could use multiple Amazon regions or availability zones, and that is a hybrid model. The decision to use multiple providers is a trade between the risk of a single provider failure, the cost of switching between multiple providers, and any bargaining power it might provide. Within the Amazon ecosystem, then, the cost of switching between regions is low. Your bargaining power is relatively weak, but you can mitigate risks by designing across many zones. For many, this is more than adequate. When you need to go that extra mile and combine multiple public providers, then you're incurring an increased cost of switching, not only through any movement of data but also any change in the syntactic or semantic compatibility of APIs. Syntactic compatibility simply means the APIs have the same structure and form. Semantic means they operate in the same way. Without this compatibility, then your management tools which work with one might not work with another, and that incurs a cost of transition. To reduce this cost, then, either you want multiple public providers with our interoperable or management tools which cover both. But management tools can only cover both by offering the lowest common denominator, i.e. the common factors between both. Unless you have a way of ensuring interoperability, then switching incurs an additional cost beyond the movement of data through either transition costs or some loss of useful functionality. But switching is still desirable in terms of bargaining power and ensuring competitive pricing in a market. These are the trade-offs that you need to consider. Well, in practice, you don't. There is no interoperable and competitive market between multiple providers. There is instead one continent, Amazon, some substantial islands, and then a lot of small atolls, most of which are sinking fast into the sea. But it didn't have to be this way, nor will it necessarily stay this way. If I go back to the Zimki plan, figure 134, then along with creating an ecosystem models around a serverless platform, we also intended to create a marketplace of platform providers, and we hoped for a marketplace of infrastructure providers. It's worth making a distinction here. You have a consumer ecosystem, as in companies or individuals that use your component, a supplier ecosystem, as in companies or individuals that provide components for you to use, and a marketplace of consumers and suppliers around a component. These are not the same. See figure 134, marketplace or ecosystem or both, for more details. In the case above, we aimed to build a consumer ecosystem around our platform as a service, i.e. we hoped many others would consume our component, enabling us to run that innovate leverage commodities model and to sense future change. We also aimed to provide a marketplace of providers, i.e. to enable others to set up as platform players, in order to overcome concerns over lock-in to a single provider. To achieve this, we had announced the open sourcing of Zimki along with testing services to enable others to become Zimki providers. However, in our value chain, we also consumed components of infrastructure from others, and hence it was advantageous to us, for reasons of pricing competition, that our ecosystem of suppliers consisted of a competitive marketplace with interoperability and easy switching between them. We intended to achieve this by open sourcing Borg, our infrastructure play, which would co-opt the APIs of any major utility provider if it appeared. Hence my early phone calls to those executives offering to provide them with an Amazon competitor. Open sourcing a technology not only enables that component to evolve quickly, but it can help in creating an interoperable marketplace with switching between providers, especially when combined with testing services. The last part is crucial, as there is always the danger that providers will try to differentiate with features in a commodity market, creating what's known as a collective prisoner dilemma, everyone weakening their own position and that of others through self-interest. Unfortunately, whilst this was my plan in 2005, the entire project had been killed off in 2007 for not being the future. By the time the hardware executives finally woke up and started to play an open source game around OpenStack in 2010, they invested far too little and far too late. They failed to co-opt, arguing for differentiation, and failed to prevent a collective prisoner dilemma forming. It's water under the bridge, but if the competitors had reacted more timely, put in enough investment, focused on co-opting APIs, created a price war to force up demand beyond supply due to Amazon's constraint, then we might have seen a vibrant marketplace of many providers. Instead, we've seen not only industrialization of computing infrastructure to utilities, but also centralization towards Amazon. This is another point to highlight in this sorry tale. Industrialization does not necessarily mean centralization. What it means is standardization to a de facto. The question of whether something centralizes or decentralizes is influenced by other factors beyond evolution, including executive gameplay. The reason why Amazon dominates the market is it has played the game well, whilst most competitor executives have failed despite all their advantage. Equally, this is not a permanent state of affairs. A better set of players may emerge, for example from China, and cause the market to decentralize. The game, however, becomes much harder once a standard becomes established and the victors of the war have emerged. The time to change the players and to play the game well is in the overlap between the states of peace and war during the change from product to utility. If you miss this, then to change the game again requires a bloody battle of attrition to unseat a titan, a game of last man standing and often political intrigue. It is unlikely that those who so spectacularly lost this battle will have the skill to win such a war of attrition. For infrastructure, this shift from peace to war has long passed and the victors have emerged. For the serverless platform world, we're in the midst of this change at the moment. The war has been raging, but it will soon be over. By 2020, we should probably know who the winners and losers will be. Opportunity on a map can be found in several places. From the genesis of the novel or the provision of unmet needs or differentiation of a product or the time of transition from one state, for example peace, to another, for example war, see figure 135. See figure 135, Opportunity and Change. For more details. The maps won't tell you what path you should take, but they are a guide to help you discuss and decide.